Elijah is going to now come read the scripture. It's right here if you want to. We're making her work today.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again around noon, and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last.
A couple weeks ago, Ann Farrell suggested to me, ask if we might sing the song, "Bread and Roses." So we're going to sing it in a few minutes. She associates it with Labor Day and with the labor movement. And it's a song that apparently you all used to sing here, some during the time when Rich Rose was pastor, connected to some stuff with probably with the Tompkins Workers Center, as well as other social justice things. I didn't know the song, but I went looking. And we are going to sing it. The song "Bread and Roses," you may or may not know, is associated with the Lawrence, Massachusetts textile strike of 1912, which, according to what I learned, was a change point in the history of labor organizing. It was a public protest, mainly of immigrant workers from many different countries, including Austria, Belgium, Cuba, Canada, France, England, Germany, Greece, Ireland, Italy, Lithuania, the Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Russia, Scotland, Spain, Syria, and Turkey. According to the 1910 census, 65% of the mill workers, many of whom eventually were part of the strike, had lived in the U.S. for less than 10 years, and almost half for less than 5 years. Prompted by a cut in their wages, there began a walkout which spread from mill to mill across the city. What was so change-making about this strike was that trade unions had assumed that immigrant and largely female workers, ethnically diverse workers, could not be organized for a strike. The Lawrence strike came to be known as the Bread and Roses strike because of its associations with this song, which we're going to sing. But I think as we sing this song, as we meditate on this, I also found myself thinking of this story, Jesus' story about the laborers and the vineyard and Labor Day and kind of how all those might speak to each other. It seems to me that this song, "Bread and Roses," evokes the fact that people long not just to survive, not just to have enough bread to get through the next day, not just to be able to feed their kids barely enough. People want more than that. People want roses, beauty, joy, music, meaning, purpose, a bigger sense of the value of their lives. Reminded me, I've thought of it driving in this morning, James Taylor, I don't know if it's original to him, but his song, Millworker. Millwork, it ain't easy. Millwork, it ain't hard. Millwork ain't nothing but an awfully boring job. Try to catch me a daydream to get me through the morning. Millwork. Drudgery. Being a piece of the cog, a person on the line, right? The need for more than bread. For roses, for love. There are so many million people in our world today like those strikers in 1912. People who are hungry for bread and much more. People who are desperate to fill not just their bellies, but their souls. People who need and long to be treated more fairly and more justly. But also, I think we need to be careful we don't get caught in the assumption this is all about economics. Some of the richest people in the world are starving spiritually. Surely we can see that. Just follow the news. So this parable Jesus tells about the kingdom of heaven, the realm of God, the reality that God is offering to us, revealing to us in Jesus, is about something not just after we die, but something that's available to us now. Not just a place we're trying to get to someday, but a reality Jesus calls us to live from right now. Jesus was offering those people, he offers to us the hope of a different reality. Where no one goes hungry, where everyone has enough physically, yes, but also where bodies and souls are nourished and fed. Steve Garnes Holmes and his Reflections of Unfolding Light, I went searching for his reflection on this text. He connects this parable to the Israelites in the wilderness getting manna every day. They got enough, but they could not hoard it. They could not save some up for fear they wouldn't have any for tomorrow. The Israelites gathered the manna, Exodus said, some gathering more, some less, depending on how big their families were. But those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed, but not more. He writes that God's justice is not some illusion of deserving, but that each has what they need, no more, no less. Each laborer in the vineyard at the end of the day receives a day's sustenance. There is no merit, no earning, no difference. Everything is a gift. God does not reward or compare. May I say, no stars on the crown, none of that stuff, no different levels in heaven. God provides. It is we who divide and hoard. And Steve goes on to write, the only people who resent God's justice are those who have unfairly gathered. The only ones who make others work for their manna are those who already have more than they need. Despite our illusion of having earned it, all that we have is manna given for all of us. Don't measure deserving There are always those who have worked harder who have not been paid. Your money and possessions, your education, your skills, your access to power and resources, the beauty on your morning walk, the blessings you receive in prayer, you have more than you need. The rest is not yours, but has fallen upon you to share. I often think as we are praying the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Not give me today my daily bread. Give us, all of us, our daily bread. It is both an invitation and a call, a command to share, and it is an invitation to know that we are already blessed, that the generosity and goodness of God goes so far beyond what's fair and just to give us all enough if we'll just stop dividing and hoarding. There is more than enough material possessions, food to eat, and so much more than enough of the realm and the reality of God's love here for all of us. Bread and roses. Let's join in singing this song as we prepare to come to Christ's table.
While Christopher plays through, if you don't read music, you're gonna wanna follow the first top line to every stanza, okay? That's what's gonna make sense.
As we go marching, marching in the beauty of the day, a million darkened kitchens, a thousand miles of gray, are touched with all the radiance that a sudden sun discloses, for the people near us singing bread and roses.
thank you, Anne and Shelah.